Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. Alan J. Huth shares a Bible passage with comments from over 35 years of his personal Bible reading journals and applies the Word of God to our daily lives.
Today we begin the Book of Romans. Paul most likely wrote Romans from Corinth in about 57 AD. I call it the PhD of the New Testament. Others call it the Christian Manifesto, or the Constitution of Christianity. It is a high-level book of Christian thought. The theme is the revelation of God's judging and saving righteousness in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Of all of Paul's writings, it is the fullest expression of Paul's theology, filled with lofty theological ideas and vocabulary. Romans is the most complete teaching about God and on relationship to Him. What we will learn in Romans is summarized in my ESV study Bible in the introduction to the book of Romans. Paul addresses matters of interest for a church that includes both Jewish and Gentile Christians. Number one, can one be right with God through obeying the law? Number two, what can be learned from Abraham, and is he the father of both Jewish and Gentile Christians? Number three, what role does the law play with reference to sin? Number four, what does the salvation of Gentiles indicate about the future of Israel as God's people? And number five, should Christians observe Old Testament food laws, and how should they relate to fellow believers on such matters? Dr. Woodrow Kroll was formerly the president of Back to the Bible. He put out an ESV version Bible, and in his introduction to Romans, he says, "Romans is a book to savor, to read slowly and carefully. Why? Because it presents an irrefutable argument for the world's need of a Savior and the eternal plan of the sovereign God to draw needy sinners to that Savior. You'll probe the depth of the wisdom of God. This book will challenge your mind, strengthen your faith, and guide your Christian conduct." That makes you want to jump right into Romans right now, doesn't it? But before we do, I want to introduce our guest reader for the book of Romans. Craig Warner is the executive director of the Gideons International. You will tell by his accent he is not from around here. Craig was born in Pakenham, Australia. In 1998, Craig attended a Christian convention in Australia, where he offered his life to God for use in full-time ministry. A few years later, Craig joined the Gideons International in Australia, and eventually became the full-time executive director of the Gideons in Australia. He and his family moved to the USA in 1999 to join the staff of the worldwide headquarters of the Gideons International, and he became the executive director of the Gideons International Worldwide in 2010. Craig and his wife Debbie live in Nashville, Tennessee, where the headquarters of the Gideons International is. Craig Warner will open our journey through the book of Romans by reading the first 32 verses of chapter 1.
Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship, to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. so I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them.
In the book of Romans, I will use three of my personal Bible reading journals, one from the summer of 1994, one from the summer of 2001 when I was reading both the Old and New Testament at the same time, Psalms and Romans at the same time, and the third one will be from 2013, the fall of 2013 when I read Romans in about 20 days. In Ad Bible, I like to use my personal Bible reading journals from various decades. So here we'll have one from the 90s, the 00s, and the 010s. So let's get into Romans chapter 1, referring to my journal in 1994. Speaking of Craig Warner and the Gideons International, when I was reading Romans chapter 1 in 1994, I was in Indianapolis at the Gideon International Convention. I wrote about Romans chapter 1, saying Paul was a prayer warrior, holding up those he had preached and witnessed to. He wanted to go to Rome, that I might impart some spiritual gift to you, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you. Then he changes his focus from what he can do for them to what they can do for each other. Then I wrote Romans 1:16-32 is a great sermon for a non-believer. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It is righteousness. There's also the wrath of God. All of us know about God from within and in creation, but we don't honor him and give thanks, so our heart becomes darkened. We become fools. We worship the creature or creation rather than the Creator, and God lifts his hand of grace and gives us over to our degrading passions and our depraved minds to do those things which are not proper. In 2001, I focused primarily on verse 18, which says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." We forget this characteristic of God. To say everybody is going to make it to heaven flies in the face of this verse. In the fall of 2013, I actually read half of this chapter on one day and half on a second day. And as I share the journal entry from 2013, I think it's amazing how sometimes it's very similar to what I read and wrote almost 20 years ago, and then sometimes very different. I think I capture the essence of this chapter in what I wrote in my journal in 2013. From chapter 1, verse 8, I quoted, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. Paul wants to go to Rome to impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." Paul had a calling in his life to preach the gospel to Gentiles, Greeks, and barbarians, lost people. What is my obligation, I wrote? To connect God's people to God's Word through the Ezra Project and get Christians back into their Bibles and see lost people come to Jesus through the distribution of His words by my membership in the Gideons International. I wrote, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of salvation. Lord, help me share it even more. I live by faith more so every day as I age and experience God." I summarized the second half of the first chapter of Romans by writing this. Paul gets right after it, after his greeting and expression of longing to visit Rome. He starts with the wrath of God directed to all who suppress the truth. What can be known about God's plan to people? God is evidenced in His creation, so every human being must have an instinctive awareness of God. People exchange the glory of God to worship idols. So God gives us over to the lust of our hearts because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. We cannot exchange the truth of God if we don't know it. Homosexuality is not natural. One is not born in it, according to verses 26 through 27. The result of godlessness is sinful behavior. Right off the bat, Romans answers some of the most pressing questions we have in our day. 1. What about people who, quote, don't know about Jesus? Let's see what Paul has to say about it. Starting in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." These verses answer that question. Everybody knows about God. If it's only through His creation, everybody knows. But I believe also it's internal. God has put an awareness of Himself in every human life. He reminds us we are without excuse. And then he goes on to say, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." In other words, human beings exchanged the worship of the immortal God for the worship of man-made idols. God does not force us to worship Him. He goes on to say, "Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their own hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator." So I think Romans chapter 1 answers that very question. What about those who don't know Jesus? Everybody, God created everybody to know Him through His own creation and an instinctive knowledge of God in each one of us. And then the next question, which is sensitive in our culture today, always has been, and that's about homosexuality. So let's read what the Word of God says. It says in verse 26, "For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error." Now, I'm not going to dwell on the issue of homosexuality. I think it's fairly clear if you just read the Word of God that the cultural argument that people are born this way is just not a biblical position. I encourage you to grab your Bible and go back and look at Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 27 yourself. So Romans chapter 1 starts out with a bang, doesn't it? Paul gets right after it. He tells us, "Claiming to be wise, we become fools, and we exchange the truth about God for a lie." Let's close Romans chapter 1 with the prayer I wrote in my journal in 2013. I wrote, "Forgiveness for exchanging truth for a lie. Bring us back to biblical belief. Keep me from falling." Father, as we head down the road of the book of Romans, might we pray for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in this book that I've called the PhD of Christianity, that others have called the Christian Manifesto, and others the Constitution of Christianity. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in your word. And we'll pray for it and ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen.